The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. We definitely have to get new drops from my son. That was 180 years ago. He sounds nothing like that. And when my good friend Jack Graham, who we had on yesterday, introduces him as my daughter, not knowing, I think it's time to change. So, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us. We welcome those of you listening here in L.A. on 99.5 KKLA, where we broadcast virtually each and every day. Welcome. Those of you in San Diego on AM 1210 K-Praise, welcome. Those of you listening in the Pacific Northwest, in Portland, Oregon, I've been blessed to be on 93.9 KPDQ for a few weeks. Georgine Rice is coming back next week. We praise God for that. And for all of you that have sent me kind emails, and even an email or two where you're not so fond of my positions, we are grateful that you at least give this program a go. That being said, in the previous hour, those that heard, I read a commentary of which I'm going to read again. Now, this is going to upset some people. Not my intention. I really pray about weighing into areas of topics that are not even controversial, quote unquote, but just when we hear things in the news about racism and violence, and there are a number of people that are very emotional and react about things that occur. In this case, when we talk about police shootings. Now, there's a commentary, and I did not know any of this, that deals with Dante Wright, the young man who was killed after being pulled over. The officer of 26 years, a woman, has been charged with second-degree manslaughter. And my position is, if any person that is hired to be a peace officer is involved in a shooting like this, extensive investigation, and if there is possible criminality, my position will always be consistent. They need to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. That being said, I think we live in a time when such things are arbitrary and selective and are very inconsistent, and it's greatly troubling. I think the media perpetuates their narrative. The left is all about demonizing law enforcement as if they're all one entity. We saw last summer this idea of defund the police and rioting all across cities in the United States, almost as if the rioting was justified and was categorized as protesting, mostly peaceful. Right? We heard the term Black Lives Matter over last summer. And for me, I say, above all, we have to stand for what is true. I have an email here I'll read, and then I'll read the commentary. By the way, the phones are wide open, 888-528-2557. Listener Jeff, who says he's 71, he says, it seems so many of the police shooting incidents result from noncompliance with police instructions to the person being questioned. He said, it's been quite a while since I was in high school. He says, seems to me if the Department of Education required some of the classes, maybe civics class, that would include teaching of how to respond to police, it may reduce the number of incidents in the future. In other words, teach our youth some simple facts regarding why laws are necessary in our society, why law enforcement is necessary, and that the best personal policy is to comply with police. Now, you may not agree with that. You may think there's something more going on here. We have people in the positions of authority. Rashida Tlaib recently, as she often does irresponsibly, said somehow there's no reform here. This is just out and out. The police have to go. Right? The defund the police chant. My position is we need better training. And if an officer acts criminally, they need to be prosecuted. But the narrative out there is much different in the media. They love to pick and choose. They're arbitrary. We have a woman, Ashley Babbitt, who was killed January the 6th as she entered the Capitol by a law enforcement officer, a D.C. police officer who's been unidentified. We don't know if it's a man, a woman, anything about this person, but they did a quote-unquote investigation. No charges will be filed. Ashley Babbitt was unarmed. The crime she committed was crawling through a window. And yes, she was on governmental grounds, et cetera, et cetera. And then you've got Daunte Wright, pulled over, unarmed. Many of you have probably watched the body cam video over and over again. Horrible, awful. He was killed, murdered, if you will. And this needs to go to justice. But no justice for Ashley Babbitt. And yet scores cry for justice for Daunte Wright. So who was this man? Now, here's where it may upset you, not my intention, but I think this position is really important to breathe into the public record because I've not heard any of this. Now, Matt Walsh tends to be a bit acerbic at times. He's a Christian blogger and commentator at different times. He's written a piece for Daily Wire called Daunte Wright Was Wanted for Robbing and Choking a Woman at Gunpoint. Here's why that matters. By the way, 888-528-2557 are the numbers, and our phone lines are wide open to you. Call, please. Matt Walsh writes, one of the very first men canonized by the high priests of the Church of BLM was Michael Brown. Described in media reports as a gentle giant and hailed as a promising young man and valuable member of his community, Brown died while assaulting a police officer and trying to take his gun. George Floyd, whose death at the hands of police is being adjudicated as we speak, died while resisting arrest and high on a potentially lethal dose of fentanyl. His rap sheet included the home invasion, armed robbery of a woman. Another canonized, though still alive, Jacob Blake, a man who received ceremonial visits from Joe Biden and other Democratic dignitaries while in the hospital, allegedly broke into a woman's house and raped her in her bedroom before stealing her debit card and vehicle. On the day of the shooting, Blake had returned to the home of his alleged victim, was attempting to take her car keys. When the police arrived, he fought them, pulled a knife, eventually was shot. That brings us to Daunte Wright, the latest posthumously appointed martyr for BLM, writes Matt Walsh. The immediate circumstances of his death are well known. He was pulled over for a traffic violation. Police discovered that he had an open warrant. They tried to make the arrest. He resisted, climbed back into his vehicle, and was shot by a female officer who says that she meant to use her taser. She has been charged with second-degree manslaughter. Now, after a Daily Mail report, there's evidently more pieces of the puzzle have been revealed about his past. The report reads, quote, Daunte Wright choked a woman and threatened to shoot her if she did not hand over $820, according to court papers obtained by DailyMail.com. That is the case that led to a warrant for his arrest at the time he was shot and killed by police officer Kimberly Potter in Minnesota over the weekend, leading to days of unrest. Wright was allegedly pulled over for having expired license plate tags, although he called his mother and told her it was for having an air freshener hanging on his rearview mirror. While checking his details, Potter and other officers learned of the warrant, end quote. 888-528-2557. We have a few open lines. Matt Walsh continues. The full details of the alleged crime are quite chilling. In December of 2019, Wright and another man, Image 8 driver, stayed the night in a house shared by two female roommates. The Daily Mail explains what allegedly happened the next morning. Quote, in the morning, one of the women went to the bank to get her $820 rent money, which she gave to the other woman and then left for work. As Wright, driver, and the second woman were leaving, Wright allegedly tried to hold up the woman. The three of them were walking to the door to exit the apartment, and defendant Wright turned around and blocked the door, preventing the victim from leaving, says the report, written by Osseo police officer Shane Mickelson. Defendant Wright then pulled a black handgun with silver trim out from either his right waistband or his right coat pocket, pointed it at the victim and demanded the rent money, continued Mickelson. The report reads, victim said, quote, are you serious? End quote. Defendant Wright replied, quote, give me the bleeping money, I know you have it, end quote. When the woman again asked him if he was serious, Wright is said to have replied, I'm not playing around. Mickelson's report then said, the $820 cash was tucked in the victim's undergarments, and defendant Wright placed his hand around victim's neck and choked her while trying to pull the cash from under her bra. Victim was able to get loose from defendant Wright and started to kneel down and scream. After more yelling, Wright allegedly told the woman that he was going to shoot her unless he got the money. Quote, give me the money and we will leave, he allegedly said. Give me the money and we will go. Mickelson added, quote, defendant Wright then tried to choke the victim a second time and tried to take her money. Defendant driver was telling her to give defendant Wright the money. End quote. End of report. Now, Matt Walsh continues. The victim reported the crime to police, easily identified Wright as the culprit, and he was arrested. Wright was initially released on bail, but the bail was revoked when he was found in possession of a firearm. That is when a judge issued the warrant for his arrest. Wright was not arrested simply because he had a handgun without a permit. It certainly wasn't because of an air freshener, which was the insane lie promulgated on Twitter in the immediate aftermath of the shooting. It was because he allegedly choked and robbed a woman at gunpoint. Matt Walsh continues, for those keeping track, this means that of the three most recent and most prominent BLM martyrs, the three men that BLM insists we collectively wail and mourn and honor and celebrate, in whose faces we must paint in murals, and whose names we must remember and repeat, all three allegedly committed acts of brutality against women. These are not men accused of Me Too-style harassment, but of cruel and vicious abuse. And then Walsh writes, now the inevitable question, does it matter? Does this matter? For Dante Wright specifically, should we even bother bringing up this heinous crime? The answer is yes, it does, and we should for two significant reasons. Number one, a lot of people die every day in this country, often unjustly. Usually they die at the hands of other civilians, but sometimes at the hands of agents of the state. Out of all of that death, all of that misery, all of that suffering, all of that loss, these men in particular are chosen by the cultural powers that be. We are told that we should honor and mourn them more than we honor and mourn the average murder victim. They are the ones who get the politicians weeping beside their golden caskets. They are the ones with the murals and the streets named in their honor. Matt Walsh continues, "Our collective reaction to their deaths goes way beyond a simple call for accountability. These men are honored in a way that other victims of injustice are not. Sometimes they receive treatment that is very close to worship. It becomes all the more necessary for this reason to speak the truth about who these people were, what they did, the harm they caused, and to ask whether they, of all people, should be the ones with halos placed around their heads." And number two, "This alleged crime by Dante Wright is what led directly to his arrest, which is what led to his death. It is an inextricable part of the story. If Dante Wright had not robbed a woman at gunpoint, he would be alive today. That much is indisputable. And it brings us to the most important part of all. Dante Wright, like so many of the other men that BLM calls on us to mourn and honor, appears to have been a violent man who met the fate that so often befalls men of that sort. Does that mean he or they deserve to die? Absolutely not. But it simply means that when you live that kind of lifestyle, you probably will die sooner or later, if not at the hands of the police, then at the hands of another criminal on the street. If we don't want people to die like Dante Wright, then we should tell them not to live like Dante Wright. In the words of the gospel, live by the sword, die by the sword. That message has stood the test of time, and we need to heed it in our culture more now than ever." Matt Walsh writes for DailyWire.com. What are your thoughts? Now, obviously, this is potentially a very controversial and heated issue. But I just think it's important that when we look at the truth of things, we need to have context and an absolute truth of things. And again, I want to be consistent. I stand on the side of justice. I stand on the side of laws. Not arbitrary justice. Not in some cases will apply the law here. This officer being brought to trial, which she should, seems like there's enough evidence. But then in the case of Ashley Babbitt, we don't know things. We don't even know who the officer is. Somehow an unarmed white woman is killed, murdered, whatever terminology you use, and the DOJ and other investigatory committees say no evidence of wrongdoing. It's, in the words of the lawyer for the Babbitt family, that's baffling. And are we being played here? I'm on in Portland, Oregon. How many nights of violence and looting occurred last summer in Portland? 100 straight nights? Over what? It's going on again. All across the country, we hear screams for justice. Screams against the racist police. And yet, is the narrative accurate? 888-528-2557. We have open lines. Do you have any thoughts whatsoever? We welcome your calls. Whatever your view is, you will be screened, and then we'll get you on the air. Cheryl in Signal Hill. Cheryl, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. I've listened to you a lot over the years, and I've been very disgruntled with some of your views. I do happen to be a Christian, and I do believe in what's right. But when I hear you speak, you have a different tone and a different take, always when it has to do with black, young black men at that. Whether you know it or not, Frank, you don't come across very fair, nor do you come across as a man who speaks from the side of justice that I would say that comes from a believer. I do believe you're very biased and partial to some degree.
Bias and partial in what respect?
You mentioned this lady, this lady who's from San Diego, the same place I'm from.
Her name was Ashley Babbitt. Yes, go ahead.
Stormed the White House. Anybody else that would have stormed the White House would have been shot on the spot. I don't know why you guys think that white people shouldn't be killed for doing some of the same things that black or worse that black people do.
Well, but no, here's the point. Here, I don't want to.
Go ahead. I'm speaking now, and it's okay to listen sometimes.
And it's okay to have a conversation sometimes too.
Well, I'm let me finish, and then you can. You can't butt in.
Okay, hang on. I'll put you on hold. I want to have a conversation. You just made a point I want to respond to, then I'll put you back on the air. You made mention of Ashley Babbitt being killed and Dante Wright being killed. Why aren't both police officers being brought up on charges? Why is one and not the other? Is that concerning at all to you?
She should have never gone there.
She should have never gone there.
It wasn't her duty.
250,000 people went to D.C. on January. Oh, you just want to argue. Go ahead.
She should have never tried to break in the White House or break in Congress.
Did you see the video?
She should have never done that.
Did you see the video of her shooting? Did you?
Had I done that, they would have shot me dead.
Okay, they would have shot.
I shouldn't have done it.
Do you know how many armed police officers were behind her that didn't shoot her? Did you see the video?
The man who was killed the other day, Dante, didn't deserve to die that way?
No kidding. I just read an editorial that said he didn't deserve to die.
He brought up his past as if his past was the reason he got killed. No, it wasn't.
Why did he resist? Why did he resist? I don't want to yell, but my goodness, why did he resist arrest?
The bottom line is, why did he wanted to go either.
Why did he resist arrest?
Pointed at them.
So
and you bringing up his past as if that makes it all right.
No, that's not. That's not what.
All.
That's not what the commentary said
that's
at all. You have selective hearing.
Let me say this, Frank.
Yes.
If everybody should die by the sword, then many of your ancestors,
my ancestors,
should have died by the same sword that they put out to black people.
What are you talking about?
You guys don't see it that way.
You guys.
You said that they died by the sword. Did many white people die by the sword that they had delivered on black people? Back in slavery? No, Frank.
What does this have to do? Okay. You just want to argue
because
and yell.
You brought up that this man, he brought it on himself.
He did. By resisting arrest. I'm not going to let you keep yelling. And I don't want to raise my voice to try to talk over you. If he didn't resist arrest, he possibly would be alive today. Or do you think somehow he would have been gunned down in handcuffs? The body cam was there. If that was the case, if that would have occurred, this woman should have been brought up on absolute murder charges with death penalties, special implications. I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to yell over you. We want to bring up hundreds of years of slavery like this has anything to do with anything. This is not a logical discussion. You want to have an argument. I don't. I'm bringing facts. I'm reading an editorial that said literally, and maybe you missed it, did Dante Wright deserve to be killed? It said absolutely not. But you hear what you selectively hear. And I'm really sorry you have so much anger in you. I'm really sorry that you believe that racism is this degree of a problem. But nothing is going to be solved. Nothing is going to be addressed if we go with sheer emotion and outrage and pain and anger. Do we not stand as a country of laws? Or are we just going to arbitrarily mete out justice when it applies? Are you not concerned about the media narrative? And Your call wasn't offensive at all. It was challenging. I don't want you to agree with me, but I would hope and pray as Christians we would have respectful disagreements and discourse. To accuse me of somehow being insensitive to young black men. You obviously don't know my ministry and what I do. You don't need to. I don't need to defend myself. But that accusation is ludicrous. 888-528-2557. Chris in San Diego. Chris, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Frank? You know, I just wanted to touch a little bit on that Floyd incident. And, you know, we need to stop with the black and white and all this stuff. Floyd was a distraught man. He was a drug addict. It's unfortunate his choices got him killed. Fighting with the police, you don't fight with the police. And if you're going to break the law, then the law is going to come down on you. And it's unfortunate he lost his life, but at the same time, something bad was going to happen to that man. He kept on making bad choices. It had nothing to do with his race. It was him making bad choices. I don't think that police officer went out to say, hey, this man's black, we're going to kill him. If he wouldn't have had a counterfeit bill, if he would have been fighting with the police officers, he would still be alive today.
Well, we would hope. We don't know that to be true. We do know that we're in a court of law right now, and we are attempting to mete out justice by law. Thank you for the call. You know, the previous caller, what really saddens me, and Cheryl, I apologize if I'm bringing you up and you're not here, but you're my subjective interpretation, as you shared your subjective interpretation of my position, I think you're in a lot of pain. Maybe you don't even know why. That grieves me. We can't argue out of pain. But sometimes when we're in pain, we have this justified anger, and we look to pick a fight to somehow satiate some of that attempt to put some of the pain away. You may think I'm completely out of my mind. Cheryl, I would do anything for you to help you through whatever trauma, whatever anger, whatever pain you have. That's my public posture as a radio program. That's what my men's ministry is about. My relationships with many churches, many of the pastors know I would be there in a heartbeat if I could help anyone, especially young men, be they white, green, purple, orange, yellow. That's my heart is for young men that are misguided, that are raised in homes with no fathers. Society accepts it as normal now, fatherlessness. Cheryl, you may not know, I challenge adult men in my men's ministry that have children, that have abandoned their children, to go back and make it right. Be a man. Stand by your God-ordained authority and position that God has made you. Don't buy into shame and bad choices. You can change anything. But it grieves me to think that your position is somehow, I don't care about young men. That's a tragedy and a travesty. That is absolutely not the truth. 888-528-2557. Matt Walsh writes for the Daily Wire. You can read his entire op-ed piece entitled Dante Wright Was Wanted for Robbing and Choking a Woman at Gunpoint. Here's why that matters. Their facts, their assertions, their observations. And he comes to an ultimate decision. And we can agree to disagree respectfully, but we don't have to be angry and fight about things. That solves absolutely nothing. When you see rioting that somehow is affirmed and we turn a blind eye justice-wise, it's just protesting. If we don't stand as a country of laws, then we're on the brink of anarchy. And I don't think anyone in their right mind would choose that. More of the Frank Sontag Show as we continue next. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. Our impact segment previous to this one was mostly a commentary I read from Matt Walsh. Matt is a bit acerbic and edgy, and he pointed out that recently, whether it was Michael Brown, George Floyd, or Dante Wright, they all had backgrounds by which they struggle with violence. Matt Walsh never makes the point that anything that happens to them was justified, therefore. In fact, he says absolutely not, not justified. Violence is never justified. But he puts forth an argument that I think is at least noteworthy and one that we need to talk about. Is there a narrative being pushed here that may be somewhat arbitrary? So we have a full board. Let's take some calls. Carlton in Compton, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank, how you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. I just want to take a minute, just 1 second, and give you a little bit of history. I'm 57 years old. I grew up and I was raised in Compton. From the gangs to the low riding, from the Crips to the Pyrus, to all of the sheriffs being pulled over and harassed and sometimes even taken to jail for no reason. I can say that racism is real. The law enforcement, they have been wrong. But I want to take a second, and I want to even send a message to Cheryl because it hits me in the heart and it hits me in the stomach. And I want to say to Cheryl, I've been out here all my life in Los Angeles. I've been pulled over by the police a million times. But I can absolutely guarantee you that when it's a man that's walking with God, and it's a man that's filled with the Holy Spirit, and a man who has had a family, Cheryl, where they've been praying for young black men out here in the streets, doing things that are right and wrong, that I could have warrants, Frank, and I get pulled over, and I have my hands on the steering wheel, and I say, officer, before you run my name, I have two warrants. And do you know that they would say, you know what, for your honesty and for the integrity of just saying that, I'm just going to write you up, man, and go to court. I have learned that it's the way that you respond. Listen, people, police officers have the authority to protect you, too. Some of the worst kind of people in bad situations, that's the first thing they want to do is call the police. Frank, I didn't pick up any tones and never have about you being biased in any way. And I don't mean to offend you, Cheryl, but I've talked to this man many times on the radio. And I'm a black man that have had the same situation, guns put out on me in every way. You want to say I was lucky? No, it was the way that I responded. And if anything else, we know what we know. And so let's teach the young black man if these things are real, how to respect authority, how to have a certain level of self-accountability. You cannot pull over and say certain things and just disrespect law enforcement and authority and think everything is your way. The Bible does declare that whatsoever man sought, that shall he also reap. And that's to every man, black, white, blue, green. It's every man's place. There's no reason for argument. There is no reason for you to even have to justify or defend yourself in any way. I've called myself a friend of yours, and you let me on the radio all the time. I would disagree with you if it was something disagreeable, because I'm transparent and I'm real. I have a lot of respect that you even have the heart to get on the radio today and even address such a thing that's so sensitive. I want us all to pray for Cheryl. Cheryl, please don't be offended. Yeah. I hope you're still listening to Frank. But there's a lot of things that we are taking extra sensitive right now. Frank, I'm going to hang up and I'm going to let you elaborate, but I want to leave this one thing and say, Cheryl, when you're praying for your nephew, your niece, your brother, and you cover them with the blood of Jesus, I have been in court, Cheryl, on my way to the county jail and on my way to prison where the Holy Spirit has made a difference. where people that pray for you make a difference. It made a difference every time I was pulled over by the police. I'm in the inner city right now, and I got to give praise to God, Frank, right now. Because from jail to low riding to being with the Crips and the Pyrus and everything and knowing them all, today I stand being a man cleared by the Department of Justice, cleared by the FBI, a forensic specialist, and guess what? Right now, still in the city of Compton. And the same ones that we talk about are my friends now. The Bible declares that when your ways please God, he will even bring your enemies to be at peace with you. Frank, enjoy the rest of your day. Listeners, listen to what I said. Frank, thank you.
God bless you, brother. I have no response. No response at all. Other than just a spontaneous short prayer. Father, we don't understand certain things in this life that seem so unfair. We have pain that has gone unhealed. Father, I just pray that your spirit of truth and light permeates anyone listening right now. And we say no to the evil one's tactics of lying and manipulating. The Bible says where two are gathered in your name, you hear our prayer. Carlton and I stand here and say, Lord, help us with these realities. Help us with our young men. Help us as men of God to be fathers and husbands that are worthy of calling ourselves followers of Jesus Christ. Forgive us our sins. And Father, I know there's no answer to this other than in the power of Jesus. No answer. Father, I just pray that you speak your truth to anybody listening right now, that you silence the evil one, that you address the pain, that you show us how we can stand together and promote healing and understanding and addressing some of the social ills and the sins of racism and other maladies that we have in our culture. I thank you for Cheryl. I thank you for Carlton and anyone else listening that professes faith in you, our great God. By the Son of the Most High, I speak, and those that are daughters of the Most High God, as Cheryl speaks. God, we ask you, we plead with you, please hear our prayers. I pray this in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll be back with more. This is the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. If you're just tuning in, time is of the essence. We have a full board. I'm not even going to do a reset as to what we're talking about. You can kind of learn as we go. But because time is short, I want to take as many calls as I can. Many are on hold. Kevin in Burbank, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. Thank you for taking my call. I totally, thoroughly applaud Cheryl. I totally boo Carlton. And it's really interesting because Cheryl was really letting you have it. And just you couldn't take it because you couldn't handle the truth. You know what I mean? You'll sit up here, just like all last year, let Trump get away with murder and not even rebuke him, not even rebuke him. The insurrectionists on January the 6th, they did all this crap, and you let them get away with murder. You just Tucker Carlson, everything, you know. And it's just really interesting, you know. This man was killed by this police officer that doesn't know the difference between a gun and a taser. Okay, so that's the issue. Okay, a young black man, since you say you're concerned about young black men, this young black man is dead. He's not coming home. So when will white people understand that? Okay, because it does not happen to their kids. Okay, but it happens to black families. Okay, so when will you, Frank, understand that? Okay, you can go home and see your kids. Many black families, they can't. okay? Trayvon Martin's not coming home. Michael Brown's not coming home. Breonna Taylor's not coming home. When will you understand that? You see what I'm saying? But you sit up here and play all these games, and it's just, it's really hurtful at a time when a family is hurting. And I'm talking about your prayers. Okay, so the only prayer I believe that God wants to hear from you is a prayer of repentance. Because not even in that prayer did you even mention Dante Wright's family. Okay, you're so self-absorbed. You didn't even mention the family that's hurting right now.
Hey, Kevin, why don't you pray for Dante's family right now?
I'm done with you.
Why don't you pray for his family right now? Yeah, figures. There you go. There you go. My goodness. And I would have let you pray. Excuse me, I didn't pray the way you would like me to pray. See, that's it. We all don't want to own our part. We just want to blame. We want to castigate. We want to scream and yell at what we think is the problem. It's amazing. It's amazing to me. And Kevin, if you feel better, I'm not sure that's the point. But if you're so sure who I am and my positions, we'll both stand in front of God one day and be held accountable. My only sadness is you didn't pray for the family when I gave you the opportunity. Let's see. We have 3.5 minutes. Al in Venice, he thinks that Ashley Babbitt was set up during the Capitol riots. Not going to take your call, Al. That's speculation. Not sure that has to do with what we're talking about. Pat and Whittier, we're brainwashed with these stories. John in L.A., he's African-American who's just angry about a lot of things. Let me take John. John, you're on the air. We've got 3 minutes. They're all yours. Share whatever you need to share, and I'm grateful for your call.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Just get off, if you can, get off the speakerphone so we can all hear you.
Okay.
That would be ideal.
All right, I'm off. Speakerphone.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. No need to apologize.
Okay. Well, I did want to speak sort of some things that were on my mind, and I appreciate you letting me say these things. I am African American male, like you said, and I think, and I kind of know that every black person I know has a degree of anger within themselves. Over a lot of things. Their grandfather, their great-grandfather, their great-grandmother, the South, slavery, inner city, just a lot of things. And some of us have been fortunate to be fairly successful. So we go sometimes to the west side of California, and we see how wonderful it is over there. And there's not that many of us that get to go over there. Unless we just go to visit. We don't get to live too much in Wilshire, Beverly Hills, West L.A., things like that. Well, we see how pleasant and beautiful it is, like Palm Springs, stuff like that. We mostly live in South L.A., Compton, South Central, and it's hard over there. And it's us and Hispanics, and we fight. Sometimes, because we're not very rich over there. We're kind of poor. And we're just generally angry.
John,
so I don't know what the solutions are.
Let me interrupt you, only because it's radio. Sure. We've got an out cue in about a minute. You've got about 45 seconds. I don't want to interrupt you, but I just want to let you know, after 45 seconds, I've got to end. But go ahead, continue.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I appreciate that. And many of us, like myself, from Little Rock, Arkansas, and, you know, the South, Mississippi, things of that nature. So we moved west because so many things were hard in the South. My mother was a well-educated nurse, couldn't really find a good job. Nice, beautiful lady, but she's black. She comes to L.A., becomes an RN at the VA hospital. I end up having a pretty good life. Because of that.
John, I hope and pray we can pick up where you left off and maybe we can have a conversation. I'm grateful for you. Know you are welcome anytime to call the program. 888-528-2557 are always the numbers to call into this, the Frank Sontag Show.